You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Welcome to January! It is that time of year when Hollywood goes, well, we'll put out a few of those Oscar films that are still trickling out towards the front, and anything new, we didn't know what to do with. Alternately, we know this is garbage, and we're going to put it here in this place when there's really nothing else
to see. The only good thing about January releases, really, is regardless of whether they're good or bad, you can always say, well, this is the best movie I've seen all year.
I was going to say,
Or the worst.
What's more January than a movie with Jennifer Coolidge playing Jennifer Coolidge's character in every movie?
Jennifer Coolidge, who is best known, of course, as Stifler's mom in American Pie. She plays one of the supporting characters in Like a Boss, the film we're here to talk about. I'm Chris.
I'm Mike.
I'm Ben.
I'm Marco.
And, we all went to go see this film. I'm surprised there wasn't more protest, quite frankly. But, that being said, this movie is directed by Miguel Arteta. Oh, you say it, because you'll say it right.
Arteta, I believe.
Yeah, okay, that sounds
right. He's a Puerto Rican filmmaker who actually had a big little run of success in the early to mid-90s with, like, Chuck and Buck and The Good Girl. What is it?
The Good Girl with Jennifer Aniston. Really, you know, good indie film.
He had a reputation for doing, like, smart, sort of character-driven comedies. And here, I don't know what's happened or what he's done lately, but, boy, I hope his check cleared, because that's really the only good thing about this experience, probably.
This does feel like one of those, waiting for the check
to clear.
You got to
see Selma Hayek in a tight-fitting dress.
I have the internet. I could see that anytime I want.
True. I could watch plenty of other better Selma Hayek films.
In fact, before this whole movie, Chris goes, hey, you see Selma Hayek at the Golden Globes? It's pretty good.
My joke about the Golden Globes is, like, if the Golden Globes hit a Titanic... Hit like the Titanic and iceberg and started to sink. Make sure you're standing next to either Selma Hayek or Patricia Arquette, because those will be your life preserver.
Really, rain or shine, regardless of the weather, there is no scenario in which I don't cling to Selma Hayek for comfort and support.
Like Brad Pitt said, I would have found room for you on that raft. Boy, really inappropriate conversation considering we're talking about a female that is directed at the ladies and to a fault, I would argue. And there's nothing wrong with films more directed at women, but this is something that is the type of comedy, like slightly wacky comedy, that feels like it's wants to be have more of a little bit wider range, but it really doesn't. And I found myself watching this movie going, I know this film is in no way, literally in no way, directed at me, like, or any of us here on this review at all. It is very specifically directed at a female audience. And I think that's fine. And I like the idea of, like, largely female starring casts and movies about two women here, Tiffany Haddish and Rose Byrne, who are just best friends, and it's about that friendship. That's great. You still need a script.
I mean, I see here that, like, the screenplay is written by two guys. It honestly feels like they got halfway through the movie when all of us have agreed after the film, yeah, that's where it should have ended. And then it's like, then this guy took up that half and said, oh shit, we have to make this 90 minutes at least. Let me do some stuff. Here we go.
It definitely feels that way. The story is Tiffany Haddish plays Mia, Rose Byrne plays Mel. They've been friends since middle school, and they are the best of friends. They even still live together, and they kind of have to, because they opened up a business in what looks like an expensive part of town called Mel and Mia's, which is a makeup company that makes all their stuff right on the premise.
Custom-made cosmetics.
It looks like they had a brief rush of success to some degree, and some degree of, like, a popularity, but that's starting to wane, partially because they've always had a sort of casualness about running the business, especially on Tiffany Haddish's part, of like, no, we give discounts to people just because we feel sorry for them.
Mia's definitely more of the big idea person, the creative. Mel is more of the business person, but she's also a bit of a doormat and can't bring herself to tell Mia that, hey, we're really in debt.
Yeah.
But they've managed to, just through social media and things like that, they've actually managed to have enough of an online presence to attract the eyes of a big investor played by the always beautiful Salma Hayek.
Yeah, and playing Claire Luna. She's like this super huge company. I mean, they literally, their company is like a... looks like an arena dome.
Yeah, you know? I don't think any cosmetics firm has an office building like that.
I honestly wouldn't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
Look, I don't know much about the cosmetic industry, but I'm pretty sure this movie plays pretty fast and loose with a lot of the rules. Facts of how the cosmetic industry is run. And
with this president of the cosmetics company so popular, the founder of Twitter gives her drones for some reason, which I couldn't name a single actual person who runs a cosmetics company. Like, I don't think Mary Kay is a real person. I think that's just made
I think she was at one point.
I believe maybe. So. I believe Estee Lauder was a real person.
They're the ones with the pink cars, I think.
I don't even know. Yeah, possibly. Sure,
I think that's Mary Kay. I don't remember. Yeah, obviously, it's a bunch of once dudes. Again, we don't know.
We don't know. And neither do the guys who wrote this movie, apparently. But anyway, so Selma Hayek's character is like, she's bigger than life. And she's like, I admire what you girls do. You're keeping it real. I want to buy your company. And at first she's like, I'll pay off your debt and I'll own 51%. And then at this upcoming thing, if it goes well, I'll invest in other like millions of dollars in your company. Like they're like, well, how about we do 49% so we still have control? And her whole secret plan, Selma Hayek's, is that I will, which is so stupid, which is like, there's a thing in there, if they ever break up the company, like the two, one of them chooses to leave,
she gets a controlling interest.
This is one of those movie contracts, like the story to Brewster's Millions. You have to spend $1 million to get $10 million.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like, yes, that exists in the real world. Sure.
So with this already, scenario, we watch it play out exactly how you think it's going to play out, which Selma Hayek basically doing everything she can to try and make these two lifelong friends hate each other so that she can get real control over this company and do whatever the hell she wants with it. In the meantime, she's also got this other company with two douche bros who have a company called Get Some. You know, they put out a lipstick line that might as well have been called Cock-Sucking Lips. I mean, it's really that level of like, to make women feel bad about themselves. Don't you want men to want you?
So you can get laid.
Yeah, exactly. And it's...
But they're woke. They're feminist. And they actually make a point of convincing everybody that they're gay because, you know, they're comfortable with their
sexuality. Well, they don't say they convince they're gay. They're like, she's like, well, somebody's like, aren't you gay?
And he's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, heterosexual.
It's this kind of funny, potentially funny idea about like some guys trying to play on the sort of woke tropes, and then they turn out to be venal, horrible people, but that goes nowhere, just like the rest of the little subplots in this movie.
Yeah, Jimmy O. Yang and Ryan Hansen, by the way, who are two really genuinely funny actors who are given almost nothing to do here.
They get like one or two moments where it's like, oh, it's kind of funny, mostly because you're talented enough actors to convey some humor here.
So we watch this play out exactly like I said, how you would expect, with a group of supporting cast that should have more to do, who are fun with their group of friends, mm-hmm. as well as the two employees at Mel and Mia's, Jennifer Coolidge, and the always funny and the standout in this film, Billy Porter.
Sure.
Who also, I believe, had the best outfit at the Oscars, or at the Golden Globes this year, for the record.
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, yeah, he's great in this, and I will say...
But he's reduced to the sassy gay friend.
That's what I'm saying. Him, 5 minutes. Him, and I will say, Haddish and Rose Byrne are great. They actually have real chemistry as friends in this movie.
That's the biggest shame, is they do.
The first 15 minutes of this movie is actually really fun because it's mostly just them playing off each other and being those two friends that are way too close at a party of a big group of friends, and they just hang out together the whole time. Yeah, that's good. This works.
Yeah, it's like the group of friends that are the tertiary friends who are all kind of slightly jealous of that friendship that's unassailable those two people have, that just like has been going on this strong for that long and really does appear to be unassailable. And I feel like this movie could have really worked if we had gotten out of the way much earlier on the whole, I'm going to break you guys up. And then they go, wait, I figure out what's going on here. It's time for revenge. But that doesn't play out till literally the last 10 minutes of this film. And it's just misery watching this movie go through a bunch of really tired, overly familiar jokes. And some jokes that admittedly aren't tired or overdone because they barely qualify as jokes. You know, going along, watching it go down this
jokes get cut off at weird points, or sometimes they go nowhere. You know, look, anybody who knows me will tell you that I'm a very private person. I'm not prone to oversharing. But in this case, I think this is illustrative. Before the movie began, I went to the restroom, and I had to use a filthy toilet while listening to an interminable amount of smooth jazz over the goddamn speaker system.
Where is this going?
That experience was better than watching this movie.
Fair.
Because at least at the end of that experience,
grab your dick.
I knew that there would be relief at the end of that experience. There is no relief in this movie. It is just interminable. It's just like, I literally thought it was over at one point, and then it goes another 30 minutes, and this movie's barely 80 minutes long, and it felt like a three-hour film.
It's 83 minutes, and it felt like it was never going to end.
There's a point in this movie where they're supposed to be fighting, and it is barely holding together. They're fighting, and they go to a hot pepper joke, and it was already a weakest version of that joke. And there's a poop joke after that because they had nothing else.
Yeah, it's the laziest moment. Yeah, I know. Well, I can see why you would, because you're like, I've seen this joke.
Mike's completely shut down. I mean, like, he's shell shocked.
Zoned out for that. I think Devil's Advocate, there were some good things. Tiffany Haddish is the female Kevin Hart, so.
She is taller.
I like her better than Kevin Hart. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, me too.
Consistent. Kevin Hart has gotten too big to where he never shuts up ever.
Kevin Hart has never gotten too big in his life.
Not physically. But continue.
I like that Selma Hayek was the villain. They didn't get the big bad man to be the villain. So it's all like female heroes, female villain. Really pulling here, but yeah, those two things.
You're drying real hard. Like, I know.
I'm running out of material.
One could suggest even though that it might have been better if there was a man villain, because like, isn't this supposed to be girls doing it for themselves, girls pulling together, and you also have a female villain who is the total opposite side of that, and you're like, I almost would have preferred a film where all the women were on the same side together of this type of movie.
Well, and there's a point in this movie where it almost feels like she'll start to understand them and work together, which is also the point. This movie could have ended halfway through and been a short film. Also, this movie wastes Cara Soni.
Who's the personal assistant to Salma Hayek, who is very funny in the Deadpool movies.
Exactly, you know, in Deadpool, and it's like, I like that actor a lot. He has a couple moments where he's kind of funny, but it's like, this is the most wasted use of an actor who's just like, everybody will recognize him and go, hey, that guy from Deadpool. And go like, what are you
Honestly, the only thing in this movie I didn't predict 15 minutes into it that didn't happen was him going, like, getting fired or something and then going, okay, fine, I'm going to reveal sensitive information to these girls that's going to help them do a thing. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a joke that they were building towards the whole time, and then they just, it got left somewhere in the scraps of other versions of this script someone's office.
There's weird things, like, this is a bizarre thing to notice, but, like, at some point when Selma Hayek's character is introduced, I was actually staring at her wig line, and I was like, that wig is not properly blended in. I can see that it's a wig. I can see where the seams are.
Now we're talking immediately, about people this movie is pointed at.
Immediately a character points out, Tiffany Haddish goes, that's not even a real, that's a wig. I can totally tell that's a wig. I kept thinking, all right, they set up a gag where they're going to rip her wig off. At one point,
they have an opportunity to do it.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, here's where it's a weak gag, but I know where it's going, and they can't even commit to that.
Yeah, no, that's just it. There's no follow through in this film. It certainly has the strength of the two leads and the fact that they obviously worked really hard to make them feel like real best friends, to feel like they had real chemistry and sparks together, and that is there, but the script doesn't give them anything interesting or funny to do together. There's a moment or two here or there that are chuckle-worthy, but that's about it.
This could have been Booksmart for women in their late 20s, early 30s,
the thing I said after and it we failed the to movie do that. Is, if Booksmart, especially with Booksmart coming out in the last year, showing exactly how a female-led comedy can be one of the funniest things I see in the year, like, this movie just throws that under the bus. It's like, we had a great friendship, we had a great duo for the leads, and we do nothing with that. And it's really kind of sad because, like, literally those first 15 minutes or so, it's like, you two are great together where you both hate your rich and snooty friend, that you have that moment where you're like, oh shit, we both fucked up. What do we do? I don't know what I do. What the fuck should we do? It's like, I've been there with every one of my friends that I'm close with where it's like, shit, do we run now? Do we hide now? I'm just going to pretend I wasn't here. Let's go over here.
Let's go to final thoughts. Keep going into your final thoughts.
Yeah, it's just,
I don't know how long we can talk about this film.
That's fair. Basically, as I said, like, my biggest thing is, like, you look at Booksmart and go, these movies can be made and can be made cleverly to show, you know, even to a male audience, that female-led comedies can be great. and we have great talent here. That's kind of what I went into this movie going, please be good. There's such a great cast, at least lead cast in here, and a potentially great director. He has some good stuff behind him. There's just nothing here. The second half of this movie, especially, does not need to exist. You just thought it was going to end 40 minutes ago, and for some reason it keeps going on to the weirdest and stupidest ending that, like, even a high school student would go, that doesn't make a lick of sense, as Chris's cats destroy the
house. I know,
they're
destroying something. I'm like, what are they destroying, I wonder?
They're expressing their frustration over this movie.
Exactly.
I expected to start pissing on the couch any moment out of protest.
Yeah. Honestly, if there's ever been a January movie, this is a January movie. Like, it lives up to that immensely. If you're bored as hell and you've already seen 1917...
Then start cutting your fingers off instead.
Yeah, sure. I mean, basically just put on Netflix and watch Marriage Story or something, because this is passable if you were at home watching this on Netflix while you were working or something in the background.
Is it, though? No,
at best.
It's not.
At best. Otherwise, nobody should really see this. I'm going to give it 4 out of 10 makeup bags that clearly are way easier to make than this movie makes it out to be.
What about you, Mike?
In my defense, I had no idea what this movie was about.
Yeah, you showed up. He showed up. All, I don't know what it's about. I see him look at his phone and his face just drops. He's like, fuck.
All I knew was, okay, Like a Boss. I thought it was Girl Boss for like the first 20 minutes. But overall, I think the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie were fun. I feel like they kind of banked on the names a bit. Tiffany Haddish, Jennifer Coolidge. I feel like she kind of lost a step there. I don't know why. I feel like when I was young, maybe it was just because I was young, but she was like awkward, funny. And now as I get older, it's like she just keeps missing. It's like if you're an athlete and you miss a dunk, like you should just stop.
She had that one iconic role, and then she's just been kind of coasting on that ever since. Yeah,
which one was that? The Legally Blonde or Pootie Tang?
Jennifer Coolidge?
Yeah.
American Pie?
Yeah.
Sure.
Stifler's mom.
Yeah, Stifler's mom. Yeah. I mean, like, really iconic
role. I think
role.
She's so Botox now that I don't think her face can move.
Yeah.
No.
Which is actually a joke in the film. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, she did do that.
Oh, shit, really? Yeah. I could write for this thing.
Anyway, keep going.
Who else did they have? Billy Porter had a couple interesting moments.
Yeah.
And Selma Hayek, I thought she was fun. I know you mentioned her hair. I feel bad. I honestly didn't look up that high. Like, I never noticed.
She wasn't that tall to look up high at all.
Yeah, she even encourages that in the film at one point. She's like, there's a joke about her having a small head, and she goes, oh, I don't have a small head. It's just that my boobs are enormous.
She kind of chuckled at that one. I was like, that was the stupidest joke I've laughed at in a year.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so bad. But at the same time, we all looked. Like,
it's Selma Hayek. She's one of the most beautiful people in the world, and she's like 50-something, and she's still one of the most beautiful people in the world.
The costume is specifically designed.
Would you please stop talking about my future wife that way?
Outside of that, I think it really fell flat. Didn't quite know where it was going after that first, like, 30 minutes. Similar to, like, older songs, it kind of seemed like it was going to stop, and then it picked back up again, but I don't know why.
It's the Hotel California of movies.
Pretty much. Like,
oh, but I guarantee you could leave after it was
over. The solo of Hotel California at the end is a lot less tiresome than the end of this movie.
Right, so this whole movie is just the drum solo from Edgar Winter Band's Frankenstein.
I would rather listen to that.
It just won't end. When is it going to end? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, no worries. Again, that's not how contracts work at all, but whatever. If I have to rate this, I would give it 5 Selma Hayek breasts out of 10.
I would watch that Total Recall remake.
Yeah.
Marco?
I would much rather have 6 for the record.
I like an even set.
Honestly.
Maybe one on her head.
Right?
Yeah.
Saying anything.
Yeah, you know, if... Like Chris said earlier, this is not a movie that is marketed towards us. It's not made for us. I get that. It shouldn't have to be. It's clearly, you know, appealing to a female audience. It's about looking pretty and deciding whether or not you can have a career and a family and whether or not, you know, you can still be friends.
In a very facile way.
Yeah, I mean, it's touching all those things and sisterhood and girl power. And these are all things generally I think are worth making movies about. if I really want to be unkind, I would say that this is a movie for basic bitches. The problem is, basic bitches deserve better than this. I mean, even by that low standard, I'm okay with a kind of, you know, middle of the road crowd pleaser. Not too smart, not too dumb, just right in the middle of the road. Mediocre at best. And like Ben was saying, something you could just watch on the background, you know, and it's inoffensive. But that movie doesn't ever, that's not the movie we got. Yeah. This is really, really poor. And like I said, it's January, so I can honestly say this is the worst movie I've seen all year.
And also the best movie you've seen.
No, it's not, actually.
Oh, fair. Okay.
Dude, I started watching, you know, never mind. We had that conversation earlier.
Totally different.
I'm going to wrap this up. So I have to give this 3.5 witnesses to my tragic moment.
This movie is garbage, as someone in this film probably would have said if that was in the script. And maybe it was at some point. It's hard to say.
That's my new makeup line, garbage.
It's just not good. And it's cemented in that final 10 minutes, which should have been, like, plot-wise what's happening, the entire third act of this film. But instead, they decide to whittle down to just the very conclusion. Okay, it's all worked out. Now we're going to do our thing. To a scene that is so bafflingly misunderstood of how business works on any level. Like, I don't know shit about, like, business. And you can tell by, you can see how far our podcasts get out there. But but I don't know a lot about business, but I knew enough, and I'm sure my 10-year-old nephew knew enough to go, that's bullshit. That's not how business, what did they even do? How did that even, no. You'll be just sitting there shaking your head. And I'll tell you, even the audience who this was directed at, a lot of which were the people who got the free passes, I was listening to them coming out saying, man, that was some bullshit.
Yeah,
they did not like this movie, and because it was some bullshit. Yeah. This movie is garbage, and it's a shame because the two of those leads together, and even the rest of the cast, I'm like, you guys have the potential to work great together, and the idea, as much as I don't give a shit about the makeup industry and find the whole thing mildly offensive just from the get-go, I would say there's potential here to actually tell a funny, good story, but no effort was made. Maybe they should have had some female writers. I'm just saying.
Chris, don't talk crazy. Women don't write.
No, this is garbage, and I'm going to give it 2 out of 10 extended ghost pepper shits.
Oh, God.
Which is always how I'm going to think about this movie.
That's some positive outlook there.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a high point right there? Yeah. This movie is hot.